There's a story that I want to start with here about four preachers. Maybe you've heard about this before. There are four preachers that were discussing various translations of the Bible. And one said, well, I like the King James Version because of its beautiful older English. And another preacher said, well, I like the New American Standard Version because of it's just closer to the original languages. And I like that one better. And still the third preacher, he says, well, I like the New International Version because it has the most up-to-date vocabulary in it. And then the fourth preacher. Fourth one, he was silent for a moment, and then he said, you know, I like my mother's translation best. And the three other preachers kind of shocked said, what? We didn't know that your mother translated the Bible? And this fourth preacher says, yes. She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation that I ever saw. And that's what we want to talk about for the next few moments, is translating the Bible into our lives. And if you'll open your Bibles to James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, and we'll take a read through here, and what do the Scriptures have to tell us about translating the Bible into our lives. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thankful for the reliable Bible translations that we do have today. That's not what I'm saying. But the translation, or if you will, the transfer of the Bible into one's life may be the most important translation, if you will, of all. And each of us as Christians, we are to be Bible translators, if you will, becoming living epistles for Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 that very same thing. And God, even of his own will, brought us forth by the word of God to be his creatures. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 18. It says that exact same thing there. James wrote, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then going on in verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So did you catch in those few verses that we just read how you are to translate the Bible into your lives? Did you catch that? Did you really read it to understand it? What does it say we are to do? In just James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, we're going to see three essential principles given for translating the Bible into our lives. And the first is a thorough preparation to receive the word. And in verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That requires that we open our ears. Duh. You know, everybody's probably going, well, that's right, Nathaniel. Yes. And it is so simple. In order to be able to prepare ourselves to thoroughly receive the word, we have to open our ears. We must be open to hear the truth and to put the truth into action in our lives. If we're not open to listening to the word and putting it into action in our lives, then we're not going to receive it. Swift to hear is the opposite of, think about it just for a second, dull of hearing. If you're dull of hearing, it means you're not listening. Something isn't right there. It's not connecting. You're not listening. But if you're swift to hear, then one is paying attention. Your ears are open. Being a good, attentive, eager listener is a learned, deliberate, and willing act that we have to do. It requires effort on our part. We have to open our ears. We also have to, here in verse 19, control our tongues. He says, let every man not only be swift to hear, but what's the next one? Slow to speak. Does that mean that we all kind of just take it a little bit slower. No, that's not what that means. But in essence, that we control our tongues. It's better to listen and learn than it is to spread the ignorance of the unlearned. Sometimes the world is that way, aren't they? We find that they're very quick and eager to talk, but yet they have no clue about what they're talking about. And if we are not careful, brethren, and we are not controlling our tongues to prepare ourselves to receive the word, we're going to come off that same way to the people of the world that we speak with. We have to control our tongues. We tend to want to talk a subject to death without really learning the truth about it first. Oh, yeah, I know about fishing. I was only fishing once. Isn't that how it always is? Oh, yeah, I know how to bait a line. Yeah. Well, sometimes we can get that way with God's word as well, and we need to be very careful. We need to be ensured that we are thoroughly preparing ourselves to receive the word. We need to be slow to speak. We need to control our tongues. Well, what else do we see? We also see, and again, we're looking at that thorough preparation to receive the word, is that we have to calm our spirits. In verses 19 and 20, he says, the last part there, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Ungodly wrath closes the mind and it distorts the judgment. When we don't calm our spirit, and we allow it to get out of control, that wrath takes over. It closes our mind, it distorts our judgment, and it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. So the intense emotions can prejudice our minds against hearing and understanding the truth. And we have to be on guard for that. We need to be controlling, calming our spirit. A selfish, defensive wrath does not lead us to exhibit that righteousness of God. That's exactly what James was writing here. The wrath of man does not produce that righteousness of God. Well, one other thing with this point, and then we'll move on to our next point, is that we need to clean up our lives. In verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Brethren, we need to be constantly cleaning up the weeds, if you will, that hinder reception and growth of the word in our heart. It's just like a garden. You can't have a garden grow if you never go out there and weed it. I did it as a kid a lot growing up. Every Saturday, that's what we did. If you just let it run wild, then what happens? When you go to pick the corn, it's not going to be there because you'll have weeds the same size as the corn, most likely. You have to tend to it. And we need to do that same thing in our lives. We got to uproot those weeds. Filthiness and abundance of badness will do what? Turn us away from the truth. We have to clean up our lives. Calmness of spirit and a clean life is necessary to translate the word into our lives. And all of those four things go with the thorough preparation to receive the word. Well, the second point is, in translating the Bible into our lives, is that we need complete absorption of the word. And if you will, with this point, I want you to think about a sponge. I've got a sponge, and I want to wash my car, but I never put water on it. Is it going to work right? No. Sponges are designed to soak things up. It's also almost like a chamois for your car, you know, those synthetic chamois you can use that are blue and purple and green and yellow. Dries your car. If you can almost wipe your whole car down with one of those things, it's designed to absorb water. But we have to have a complete absorption of the word. We have to incorporate the word like a sponge. And with that, what we're going to see here in verse 21 is there has to be a willing reception. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, therefore, again, now we've already read this, but therefore laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We have to put on our own desires and opinions aside to receive the words with meekness or with humility. If we keep interjecting our thoughts and what we want and what we think is best, well, then we're never going to receive what is in the Scriptures, because we're always replacing it with, well, I, Nathaniel Gibson, think that this is really what is best for me. We have to be willing to receive the Word in its truth and its purity. We have to be humble about that. And it's not a matter of whether we like it or not. It's not a matter of whether, well, Nathaniel, I don't like what the Bible says about that. Point. You know, I think I'm going to make an exception for myself. It isn't a matter of whether I like it or not, but it's rather, have I submitted my will to God's will? That's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be. We shouldn't criticize, but receive the Word that will save and that will change us. What's another point with this? Just one other. There needs to be the daily application. Did you catch that in verse 22? But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So when it says be doers of the Word, does that mean one time? That we only do it once and then we never have to do it again? It's like some denominations believe in once saved, always saved. No, it's not that way, is it? Yet, by being a doer, it requires a daily application. That's the implication there. And to translate truth into life, the doing must be regular and consistent. It can't be something that's up and down and like an oscilloscope. You know, it can't be one day, well, I'm doing it today, but well, tomorrow I'm not going to be doing it. I have no desire to do what the Scriptures say today, so I'm going to go out and drink heavily. It can't be that way. We have to completely absorb the Word of God. In order to do that, there has to be the willing reception in our mind and our hearts and the daily application of that. We cannot be doers of the Word unless there is a daily application and a change of our life. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we're not careful, that's what will happen. We will deceive ourselves into thinking that we are doing God's complete will when in fact we are not. So you have to be willing to receive it, and there has to be a daily application, that complete absorption of God's Word. And then the third and final point that we want to look at is a thoughtful examination of the Word. Did you catch that? A thoughtful examination of the Word. Let's read beginning of verse 23 once again through 25. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So what's the point here? That deliberate examination. Not only do we have to be thoughtful in examining the Word, but it has to be deliberate on our part to go in and examine it. The forgetful hearer. What does he do? What is the Scriptures that we just read there? That forgetful hearer glances quickly, departs hastily, and then what? He forgets immediately. Now what about the effective doer? The effective doer is the one that looks intently, observes habitually, and does immediately. There has to be a deliberate examination. And one more point with this one. As we thoughtfully examine the Word, there's blessed results. In verse 25, in the latter half, "And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." He will be blessed. The effective translator of the Word of God into his life will be a blessed person. So how do we translate the Bible into our lives? By a thorough preparation to receive God's Word. By completely absorbing God's Word as we're ready to receive it, now we absorb it, and we have thoughtful examination. You might say meditation is another word for that. That we're thinking about it. It's not something that, well, it's just a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night thing, and then I put the book down, and I don't need to do anything else with it. No. It's a pattern. It's a habit of how you get it into your life. What do we do with books with college or with our job? Man, it's almost like we want to tie them at the hip and learn by osmosis. I can't get enough of it. I've read it twice already. Oh, this job is awesome. It's great. Well, why don't we feel the same way about God's Word? We have to be able to translate God's Word, the Bible, into our lives. So, are you an effective translator of the Bible? Are you a doer of the Word? That's something that I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. We each individually have to be able to answer that. We have to look into our hearts and our souls and understand to be able to answer that question, am I doing God's will? So are you an effective translator of the Bible this evening? Are you obedient to God's Word? If you're not, we encourage you to come forward and do so. Or if you've fallen away and you'd like to make your life right, won't you come forward and do so this evening as we stand and as we sing.